Luke 23, 39 to 43. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Theoronis was a normal kid, growing up, learning about God and his religion in the synagogue. Just like you and me, happy-go-lucky. But God had a special plan for him. God gave him something special. God gave him the honor of growing up with Jesus. He first met him in the synagogue when he preached to the Pharisees. For some of you, this might make your spiritual life. Seeing that could give you 100% faith. But for somebody like me, I'd ignore it. And Theoronis let it slip him by. He grew up, left childhood, realized that life wasn't all laughs and giggles, and hardship started setting in. He soon resented the religious leaders for how they treated his family. They acted as if his family were the dirt under their feet, just because their offerings weren't the biggest. They weren't the richest family, but they weren't peasants. His dad abused his mother and himself. Night after night, he would witness his own mother beaten within an inch of her life. This caused him to resent and reject God's love and protection. He grew up tired of his family life, and he left home. To survive, he started the life of a criminal, stealing small things. Just like we start our sinful lives, committing seemingly small sins. He soon met other criminals and was immediately accepted. The warmth of a family was provided by those criminals, something he did not receive from the family God had given him. The safety from hardships that he did not receive from the religious leaders was provided by those criminals. God's own church failed where criminals succeeded. And so he starts this gang, and his seemingly small sins soon grow to larger sins in the eyes of man. But Jesus never stopped calling him. He would see Jesus on the street talking with thieves and liars, prostitutes, tax collectors, ugly people like himself. He remembered Jesus from the synagogue preaching to the Pharisees. He had heard the rumors how Jesus turned water into wine, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons. He felt a tugging at his heart and a voice in his head that said, "I accept you. Come to me." But he pulled away. "I don't need anything religious. Never have, never will. Besides, my new leader, Barabbas, 10 times stronger than Jesus. Besides, I'm too sinful and ugly. They've never accepted me before. Why would they start now? And on top of that, I have a family to provide for. And even though I abuse them, just like my father did to me, the least I can do is provide for them. No, I will not rely on some unknown God." You see, when we have things on our mind. When I have 1,000 things on my mind and 1,000,000 things to do, I take it upon myself. And I rely on my friends. And most of the time, I don't even trust my friends, not my closest friends. I have to take it on myself because I'm the only person I trust. And what we don't understand, what I don't understand, is that God is constantly calling me to give him my burdens. Because when I do that, he will give me all the mental and physical strength I need. But we reject him. We reject him time and time again. In Matthew 9:12, it says, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus proclaims that he was a physician for the sick, for the sinners, and the broken. And no matter how often we reject him, he will not stop calling us. Like all criminals, Theronis soon bit off more than he could chew. Just like when we go through life relying on ourselves, we end up at the end in depression and despair. Theronis, his best friend, and their mighty leader Barabbas are sentenced to crucifixion, the most terrible and torturous death imaginable. On that day, he carried his cross to his dying place, fighting and scratching, spitting, cursing, anything he could do to escape, still relying on himself. He looked up in the chaos and realized that it wasn't Barabbas carrying a cross with him. It was Jesus. Jesus? Really? He's one of them. Why is he here? But he put that out of his head because he had hope. Barabbas doesn't have a cross, which means he's somewhere in public. He'll come and rescue us. That's what the gang does. They'll come. They'll rescue me. I don't have to worry. But that's the false hope we get when we rely on earthly leagues. Whipped, beaten, spat on, and finally nailed and hung, Theronis is faced with the final moments of his life. All hope is gone. Amidst it, he hears his friend mocking Jesus. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. Driven by hatred for everything religious, Theronis joins in. But luckily for him, the verse Romans 5:10 says, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Our friendship with God is restored by the death of his son while we were still enemies. We're at the end of our rope, relying on ourselves, and we're facing death. And out of the corner of our eye, we see God's hand reaching out to us. And we say, no, I don't need you. I still don't need you. You are an idiot. You don't know what's best for me. You cannot help me. We spit in God's face, and he will still restore us. Suddenly, like a swift kick to the head, which he needed, Theronis remembered all the prophecies that he learned growing up. The entire chapter of Isaiah 53 that talks about how the Son of God carried our sins. He was pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. He was led to the slaughter like a silent sheep, and he was killed for the people of the world. But what hit him the most was Isaiah 53:12, which says, "He was counted among rebels, and he bore their sins." Theoronis realized that he was that rebel. We are those rebels. You see, what we realize when we're at the end of our line is that we put ourselves in hell. And as we're walking around in the flames, we look around, and what do we see? I'll tell you what we don't see. We don't see our best friends. We don't see our family. We don't see the people that claim they would always have our back. We don't see our pastors. You won't even see your enemies. You will see nothing but flames and death. But one thing remains. Jesus is right there next to you in the flames. He has followed you all of your life, calling to you, begging, "Come and join me." And you reject him over and over and over. I rejected him over and over and over. And so he keeps following. He kept following Theoronis straight to the cross, straight into the flames. Jesus went to the cross with Theoronis, not only to die for him, but to die right there with him. So what Theoronis realized, and what we realize, is that our lives are spiritual journeys, spiritual stories filled with ups, downs, and doubts. It starts in the beginning with God craving us before we're even conscious. He desires that relationship with us. We need to crave him back. We need to build up that relationship. Not just by being a body in the pew, but by actively loving, talking, serving him. And when we build up that relationship, we will be able to face life. When hardships set in and they carve big, gaping pits in our hearts, we will be able to fill it with God. But we don't. We don't build up that relationship, and so we fill it with the world. And the world comes in and it shadows our face from his secure love. We don't understand that if we would take our ugliness and put it at the foot of his cross, he would fill us with beauty. But the only way to be filled and baked whole with beauty is to give 100% of ourselves. And this starts with our heart. Our actions and our speech can give him all the praises. But if our heart is spoiled, we will remain a crumbly, slimy mess. And that mess has so much potential. We don't understand that if we would just trust his perfect plan and give up ourselves, we would see everything that we can do through him. We don't understand that if we would just turn our backs on our faults and our sins and admit that we're snakes, he would come and peel off our scales and make us something we don't deserve, a beautiful place of grace. And that place will be directly connected to him through our weaknesses, because he comes into our lives and he takes our weaknesses and makes them into a strong chain. But it relies on us. We have to choose to overcome. Overcome the world, overcome Satan himself, our sins, and most importantly, ourselves. Because when we do that, we will have the strength to not rely on ourselves. We will have the strength to cast away our own understandings, and we will have the strength to cry out, "Lord, remember me. I don't deserve you. I've rejected you my entire life, but now, please remember me. I need you." And immediately, when we say that, he will put his arm around us and walk us straight out of hell. He will restore us. And together, we will walk with him in paradise. Finally, in league with God. If you feel God calling you, if you've felt him calling you your entire life, or maybe even just this moment, you finally heard him, and you want to turn your back on your sins and your faults, and you want to overcome the world through him and his power, I encourage you to just kneel down where you are and pray. You can come up front if you want. You can go out in the lobby. But if you desire that closeness with him, pray to him now. Heavenly Father, our lives are spiritual stories filled with ups, downs, and doubts. Please come into our lives. Lead us. Help us to rely on you, because that is the only way that we can get to paradise. Amen.